Oh, right as we went to go live there, some audio started playing on one of my tabs. And I was like, where the hell is that coming from? Anyway, I'm coming from here in Culver City. And it's not just me, joined on this Big News Wednesday, as always, by the far better in control of his audio, J.R. Jackson. How's it going, well, J.R.? I mean,
hey, that's yet to be seen, first of all, number one.
Well, number two, yeah.
General heads up, as of last night into this, I guess this morning, in case you see me drop off, it's because of Spectrum internet service, because they're horrible. Just so you know,
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I get frustrated sometimes at the auto playing of stuff. Like this was, I guess, like, I'm gonna say an Arby's ad based on the loud music I was hearing. But sometimes I'll have like a Hill tab opened, and so you'll start to hear one of their people reading the story, who sounds like the most bored person in history. Why do they all sound like they hate reading the news? A man today was, anyway, we're not bored, and the news isn't boring. It's actually pretty crazy today, including updates on Matt Gaetz that we'll be getting to very soon. A couple of breaking bits of news, updates on Jacob Blake, that story. Tucker Carlson goes full Uber anti-vax. I think I'm gonna make the case that he has gone more anti-vax than the best anti-vax people have been able to do for the past few decades. So that's, we'll get to that. We've got stuff on the 6th. Jer, we've got so much stuff. Hey. So very glad to have you here.
I'm just here for the big news, bro. That's all.
Okay, well, we got that for you. We'll get into it in just a second. But until then, please hit the like button if you haven't already. Share the stream. We had a ton of people in the pre-show today, over 9,000 once again. What is it, the election again? Wow. Anyway, if you are here, please hit the like button, share the stream, that'd be great. And you can send us messages. And assuming I can concentrate through the Arby's ads, we'll respond to them as we go. How about that? That's my agreement I'll make with you. Anyway, with that, why don't we break into the breaking news? Breaking news this morning, Bernie Madoff has passed away, and I don't really care. That's all I have to say about that. In more important breaking news, the officer, Kim Potter, who fatally shot Dante Wright, is going to be charged with second degree manslaughter. That is an update coming just a day after she had resigned, whatever that means, from the police force there. So, JR, this is quicker than we've seen in some cases like this. So what do you think about the fact that she is going to be facing second degree manslaughter charges?
Wait, I was gonna ask you, do you mean the resignation or do you mean the charges? Yeah, that's gonna be faced, actually, yeah, both, you're right. I don't know if it's being, I guess it's sad that I even was gonna say fast tracked, but normally tracked for charging because of the situation regarding, you know, not far away. They got the trial for Chauvin right now and his murder trial, you know. So maybe because of the heightened tensions and things that are going on in the city already, and how we're watching a trial right now that looks pretty bad. I mean, that's from, I'm not in the trial, but from all accounts, looks pretty bad for Chauvin with what evidence is being presented and things that are happening there. I don't know if maybe they're seeing, reading the winds of change or understanding public opinion and society is no longer backing up this type of stuff. Who knows if it's any of that, or it's just specifically this little town that's up in Minnesota that's decided to not deal with it. It could be any of those things, but I don't need to know the reason as long as they're doing things the right way.
Exactly, exactly. Well, there's still a lot of time for them to not do it in the right way, but this seems pretty reasonable because, like, as we were talking about the show yesterday, their explanation was she didn't mean to shoot him and kill him. She meant to tase him. Okay, well, then you made a horrible mistake. Go to jail. Like, yeah. If you, JR, if you mean to break, but instead you speed up and you run someone down and they die, you can explain why that happened, but it happened.
Yeah.
So this should be pretty clear. But this is America and she's still a cop, so don't take your eye off the ball, I would say to her.
Yeah, there's plenty of people who go to jail after they're doing something that they didn't mean to do. They set out to do something else, less lethal, and lethal things happened because you didn't, I don't know, maybe you just made a mistake and you didn't mean to. Not meaning to has nothing to do with the actions and what you actually did and the effects you have on that guy's family, friends, anybody who ever knew him now, you know? Yeah. So that's, I mean, Bottom line, straightforward, you know, that's the way we've always done things. I'm not sure why the discussion has to be had about whether or not this would need to be done because she made a mistake. I'm not sure if anyone's had that discussion. I've never seen that. So maybe that's not being had. I don't want to have an argument against something that's not being said.
Agreed. So that's your quick news for this morning. Some news that's irrelevant, some that's very important. And this story, as we have been talking about so far this week, is developing quickly. So if anything else develops, we will let you know about it probably after, because we're live. One of our producers, or possibly one of the members of the audience, lets us know about it. So with that, why don't we jump into our first big story of the morning? As the Matt Gaetz scandal has been unfolding, one of the big questions has been, will Joel Greenberg flip and start cooperating? Well, apparently that was the wrong question, because apparently he'd already done that. And this guy who was like a longtime associate of Matt Gaetz, who has broken, looks like every law, he is working with law enforcement against Matt Gaetz, providing information about the congressman's activities as he seeks a plea deal to resolve his own legal woes. Well, first of all, good luck with that, because this guy did a whole bunch of trafficking. I understand, look, if he can get Gaetz, maybe that to law enforcement is worth downgrading a bit. But the idea that this guy would ever walk free seems insane, because whatever Matt Gaetz did, it at least looks like Joel Greenberg did way more. In any event, he has apparently disclosed to investigators that he and Mr. Gaetz had encounters with women who were given cash or gifts in exchange for sex, which, you know, seems like, again, it should be like with the story we were talking about earlier. Yeah, okay, then we're done with this, right? Like, when's the trial? I don't know, JR. I think we'll still have to see. Still a congressman.
Well, yeah, well, there's the thing. So it's to see which aspect of Greenberg's illegal criminal activities Matt Gaetz got wrapped up in. Now, it seems like this is beginning to fall down between folks and where their activities involved. Because, you know, I think Gaetz got swept up in this because they were investigating things like this, child sex trafficking, just sex trafficking period, even with adults, things like that. And maybe Greenberg got caught up in that storm. And here, look, Matt Gaetz's name is associated with him pretty clearly. So that's where it kind of began. And now it's just a matter of figuring out where in this web of illegal activity Gaetz landed, and if it was illegal for him to do it. So we'll see where it is, but it's pretty obvious that this Greenberg associate of his has been panicking, has known about the investigations into him, and has been trying to find and whittle his way around this trouble since August, I think, maybe even before that. Because there were those WhatsApp messages. I'm not sure if you went over this from a day or two ago. The WhatsApp messages where he sent to his buddy and he said, look, we all got to lawyer up, man. They're coming to get us.
Oh, man, I didn't even see that, honestly.
They got into my Venmo accounts and they're reading that. And he pointed out this woman's name was Vintage 99. And 99 was based off of the year she was born. And it was found off one of those sugar daddy type of websites. So they kind of scour websites to look for these types of websites where women are probably looking for exchange, you know, for, you know, whatever kind of rent, money, cars, I don't know, sugar daddy stuff.
Yeah.
And they exploit that, seemingly, allegedly exploited those sites and found some women decide to have their own personal little, you know, fun with.
Yeah, which, again, as we've said multiple times throughout this, in theory, could that sort of arrangement could be made legal, you know, and in a way that would better protect women from the predations of people like Greenberg and Gaetz potentially, but it's not. And he's a congressman, so I think he knew that when he was doing these things, if he actually did them. Now, that said, in case people are coming into this halfway through, what is at issue? Well, the Justice Department has been exploring whether Greenberg procured women for Gaetz and whether the two men sometimes shared sexual partners, including a particular 17-year-old girl. Gaetz would boast to people in Florida politics that he met women through Greenberg. He also showed them videos on his phone of naked or topless women on multiple occasions, including at parties with Greenberg. So overall, ew, and or also eck. What a cool guy. What a just like a fun, awesome guy. But anyway, he apparently was very close with this Greenberg guy, and that was a bad choice. We know that they had that thing where they like broke into the place for fake IDs or something. I can't imagine a legitimate explanation for that, but I can't wait to find out what the actual one is. And as of right now, in terms of If you're trying to gauge the pressure that Greenberg is feeling to cooperate and to provide information, which again, could be false information, they have to confirm all of this. Greenberg faces a 33-count indictment that includes a charge of sex trafficking of a child. Whew, a lot of crimes, a lot of crimes. And Gates, I mean, look, if Gates was going to go down, why wouldn't it be for this mix of just crimes and just being the worst person ever?
Yeah, this is a classic example of, you know, no honor among thieves. Because there's, again, the political article is the one that I was referencing where he's talking about the WhatsApp messages and he reached out to another associate, the third person that he was saying he had a lawyer up. And that guy was upset because he's like, Lay, I have nothing to do with you. Don't get me wrapped up in all this madness. So it's become this, at this point, at least from what I've seen, these three figures trying to get the best deal they can from the situation where they've been wrapped up in. In that particular, the unnamed other guy was like, I have nothing to do with him. And at this point, I'm not sure if he's even being wrapped up in part of this, but he was reached out to by Greenberg and said, lawyer up, make sure this happens. Don't read this one part of this because this is very sticks out to me. He said, this is what Greenberg was saying to the guy. I'm trying to let everyone know who came into contact with any of these girls that the feds are going through my Venmo history and don't want anyone to be caught off guard, is what he said to the friend. And the guy told him, hey, keep me the F out of this. I have nothing to do with this, Joel. I'm serious, because he could read it. He said it felt like a setup from Joel. He's like, I just don't, you know, I rejected it immediately. You know, people on like, you know, maybe it's a sitcom even, they'll be like, I don't know what you are talking about. The drugs are not under my bed. You know? Yeah. So this is just, God. it's such an elementary level, a criminal enterprise that they were taking part in on Venmo and WhatsApp, talking about your criminal activity and naming one of the women that you're messing with. Oh my God. So it's just, it may be nearly impossible for Gates to avoid any kind of connection to this because his name is wrapped up all around in it, but stranger things have happened, you know?
Yeah. Okay, we've got another aspect of the story I want to go through. And at the end, I'm gonna have a question for JR to try to wrap up this entire thing. So stay tuned for that. At the center of all of this Matt Gaetz stuff has been, well, lots of crimes. There's a lot at the center. It's packed full, actually. But there's one particular woman that has been alluded to in a variety of different stories. This 17-year-old woman that allegedly was one of the women who, let's point out, can't consent to being trafficked across state lines, let alone international lines. But anyway, the woman apparently not only had a sexual relationship with Greenberg and possibly Gates between May and November of 2017, according to federal authorities, she also went on a September 2018 trip to the Bahamas with Gates, as well as hand surgeon and Gates donor, Jason Pirazzolo. I will point out so that my producer Sophie doesn't get mad at me, he's also a weed entrepreneur. She wants to make sure he gets credit. Anyway, a GOP state legislator, Halsey Bashirs, who I'm sure is having a great week too, and four other young women. Greenberg was apparently not invited on that trip. Three different people told Politico because of a conflict with Pirazzolo's girlfriend. Weird that there's drama in that group. So weird and unexpected. Anyway, here are important details though. The unidentified woman had turned 18 a few months before the Bahamas trip, and nobody in their party engaged in prostitution, one of the other women told Politico. But, and this gets rough, but she and other sources added, three of the women on the private jets looked so young that US Customs briefly stopped and questioned them when they landed in Florida. Which, I mean, that doesn't make it a crime, but oh, that's not good. Like you don't want Customs to be like, no, we don't think you have drugs or guns or anything, but like, I mean, like, come on, we gotta ask a few questions about this congressman and state legislator. That's oh God, that's not good. You don't like that.
You know, like, you know, just like when a 17-year-old kid goes to the grocery store and, you know, he has a little peach fuzz and he's like, I can buy the beer, fellas, I can buy it.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, as soon as he walks through, the clerk goes, let me see your ID. And then the pit of his stomach kind of gets hot and jumps up a little bit. Yeah. Similarly, but a lot more importantly, and on the other direction is this situation where you get pulled over by some customs guys. Like, listen, these children, they look like children with you. We have to make sure. We got to run some ID. You know, cards have to be run. It's like checking ID for the opposite reason. We think she's too young to be with you instead of too young to buy some beer. Jesus, it's... Yeah. This is the trouble that they allegedly will continue to push. They allegedly went through to entertain and travel with these girls slash women, maybe in some cases. So man, the motivation to be able to do something like this and then continue to go down this road after maybe making this many close calls with stuff like this, I just don't understand it.
I don't, there's a lot that I don't understand. The past few years have really demonstrated that about the world and everything. Yeah. But I'm processing it as we all are. So more details. The woman could testify if that's true, the thing about the customs agents. Her age at the time is a crucial detail, obviously, along with giving the feds other information on the Bahamas trip. Three Gates friends told Politico the congressman has said he waited until the woman was 18 to have sex with her. If they are friends though. So it could be true, or it could be a lie that his friends are telling. But I will say that even if it's true,
can I just say that, quote me,
he's a congressman. Maybe that shouldn't matter. Am I the bad guy because I think that matters? But like, be slightly, you're a congressman, you're going on an international trip and like you're like texting her like, no, let's wait until your birthday. Oh God, what is wrong with this country?
You know what's wrong? When you're so wrapped up in having your privilege, you literally don't understand consequences. Not you don't think they'll come to get you. You don't understand how they work. Because anytime you've been close to consequences, they've been cast aside because you've got power, influence, and money. That's all that matters. So literally, arrest, charge, prison? Nowhere near his mindset, because that doesn't happen to me. Now, he doesn't consciously think, oh, that's for the other guy and not for me. Maybe when he sees the other guy, he thinks that. But while he's doing his crimes, he's thinking, I mean, crime? No, I'm Matt Gaetz.
Yeah. That's clearly what's going on here. So let me ask you the question that I alluded to at the beginning of this. So let's say that this is true. She was 18. Let's say that that's true. Let's say that there were no other girls that weren't 18. Let's say that it's just this stuff, which by the way, could still very much be trafficking, including international trafficking and prostitution. And there could be all sorts of cases around that. Like that's criminal. So again, you should be able to assume that that means, oh no, he's done. He's gonna go to prison, he's gonna stop being a congressman. If it is totally of age trafficking and prostitution, how much does that matter going forward, do you think, for Matt Gaetz in terms of possible prison time and whether he stays in Congress, whether the Republicans throw him under the bus or not?
Well, I mean, I feel like I want to ask Adrian Lawrence, but so like as far as the legal route of it, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I guess he avoids the horrific charge of child sex trafficking instead of it's just sex trafficking, you know, that extra added layer of going after children. But I mean, you know, I mean, we talked about this grooming aspect when someone exposed that he was waiting for her to turn 18. That's if you know the child and then you're waiting for that day to come and you've prepared for the child to be with you when that day comes, that's grooming. That's preparing, that's still making sure that their decision of who they're going to, whatever kind of act that you've got planned for them is you, and you're manipulating them because it's easier because of where they're coming from, their position, wherever else you found them. I mean, there's multiple aspects of it. There's age, number one, but there's also opportunity for people who are in a vulnerable situation. You know, people like this prey on vulnerable people. And I would say children, but it's vulnerable adults and children. It's even worse when it's a kid. Yeah. So when you go to these sites, you're like, oh man, there's a girl looking for a sugar daddy. Oh, that's an opportunity. She's probably coming from a situation where she's desperate and she needs something. I'll give her stuff and I'll get something in return. It's a direct transaction. So, I mean, I don't know if many people want their representative to be this type of person, whether it's legal or illegal, or whether or not they find him not guilty of this. But I mean, there's always accusations about what people do in their background lives that make them not seem very principled or family oriented, especially the Republican Party likes to say they are.
Yeah.
They're the moral Republican, conservative, family oriented party.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, they do still say that, but I feel like let's bear in mind all of this. 2017 was the trip. All of this is coming post Trump. Like, and they love that Trump would just do and say whatever he wants. Women are objects, grab them, you know, all that stuff. Like, Gates clearly was thinking, oh no, this is cool. You can do and say literally anything as a Republican male politician, and it doesn't disqualify you. So they might still claim those traditional things that JR was saying, but I don't think that that's as core to their, even like pretending it isn't as core to their identity now. Now it's, we can do anything. And we'll just throw it in your face, and there's nothing you can do about it. So the question is going to be, is there anything that we can do about it? Do crimes matter? Stay tuned to find out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, no, continue.
Nothing. It's whether or not crimes matter has been a 50-50 gamble for a long time here.
That's true. That's true.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Unfucking the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
We want to give you an update that happened just today in the case a bit ago of the shooting of Jacob Blake. So in August, this is of last year, police officer Rustin Shesky fired 7 shots at close range the back of Jacob Blake, a black man, as Blake walked away from the officer and towards a parked vehicle where 2 of his young children were sitting. 6 of those shots struck Blake, who was left paralyzed. And that was the shooting that I'm sure you remember touched off major protests in the Wisconsin city. So in Kenosha, we had protests as a result of that. So Chief Daniel Miskinis said the use of force incident has been investigated by an outside agency and reviewed by independent experts. The Kenosha County District Attorney's Office announced in January that no charges would be brought against Chesky. Now we're finding out that basically nothing is going to happen because the chief says he acted within the law and was consistent with training. This incident was also reviewed internally. Oh, good. Good. They internally looked into it. Definitely always find that they were acting outside of their training when they do it internally. Yeah. Officer Shesky was found to have been acting within policy and will not be subjected to discipline and is now back on the job. So no charges, no discipline. Like, isn't that amazing, JR? They don't even need extra training or anything as a result of it. Not only is what you did not criminal, it's so cool. It's so awesome that you don't even need to be reminded of anything. No tweaks, no extra training, just get back on the job and keep doing your job, which we've just established involves sometimes shooting people in front of their kids who shouldn't have been shot.
Yeah, and you know what, if nothing else, it's a bit of an award. It's letting him know, hey, we got your back. That whole trauma and potential fear you went through for having any kind of consequences for your actions, we got by that. So it's a confirmation of continuing on. In fact, it's probably motivates to continue to do things like this. Because now his fear, whatever fear he had or aggression he had, whatever he felt in that moment to fire off 7, 6, 7, 8 shots in the back of a guy, whatever thoughts he may have had, like maybe I should have done it differently, have now all been cast aside.
Totally.
Now 100%. What you do is what you did was exactly right. In fact, do it again. So, you know, whenever we say, oh yeah, we saw this happen on tape, maybe things will change. No, no, after seeing it on tape and things still don't change, all that does is make sure that it happens at more lethal and more violent levels, is all that means. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. We talk about all the time, you know, like when people want to say we're going to whenever prison time or even death penalty, things like that are supposed to have a deterrent factor for other people not to do it. Because we're all watching, right? Criminals are watching. And if they see someone get away with something so easily in American justice system, they may be willing to do it too. That's what we tell everyone. What about things like this?
What about cops?
Aren't cops supposed to follow the law too? So if they do something, it's probably would have killed someone like this, then after he gets off and just rolls back into society and goes back into work, that's a confirmation. Yeah, actually, we don't punish you for doing things like this. In fact, we reward you for it. Next guy, do it too. Get a little bit of recognition, bro.
Yeah. And Jacob Blake remains paralyzed as a result of it. Apparently, totally legitimately, there was nothing wrong with any of it. Great, great point by JR. Yeah, he doesn't have to question anything. And much more importantly, other cops don't have to. What they saw, what we all watched, was totally okay. Even though, like, it's madness that that could be acceptable and that they are completely leaving out that it was 100% generated by internalized racism. Let's play a game in the chat. If it had been me, if I had turned my back and walked towards my SUV, would I have been shot 6 times in the back? Please post yes or no in the chat. I think that's a pretty easy one as polls go for the damage report. But no, there doesn't have to be any training about internalized racism, about, you know, okay, so like we get that we've trained you that you're supposed to be terrified all the time and that if you're terrified, you should start killing people. But like maybe you shouldn't be way more terrified just because someone happens to be black. Maybe. No training about that. No difficult conversations, no self analysis. We'll just move on.
Yeah,
well, we will. Jacob Blake is John, family's devastated.
If you are still walking towards the SUV and they're telling you stop and everything, their way to stop you is the first thought is not to pull out their guns. It just isn't.
Why would it be?
It would snatch you by the arm. It'd have some kind of restraining technique to pull you back from your truck. Instead, it's immediate. That's supposed to be the last resort. Or maybe it's not. As they already said, he did the right thing. So the last resort is not pulling out your firearm and firing to the back of someone. That's your first resort. And that's been confirmed by this police, this external investigation that said he did everything right. So the right thing to do is to do exactly what he did. That's what the system just said. And people said, no, there's no systemic racism in our system. Not at all. What's the problem?
I heard on Tucker Carlson that there isn't. Yeah, someone says only if they watched the damage report. Well, that's a good point. I don't think I've ever talked about it on the show. A bit back, I had a very weird interaction with the police about TYT. And nothing happened. But like I was a little bit worried for a couple of weeks after that
you
I
never
had been
told me this.
No, it was they knew who I was. It was weird. And it was like after the election and that was a tense time.
This
nothing happened.
Like,
apparently
this sounds
that's
like
good.
A story that should be told on like that wild overwhelming pregame show that you've been doing.
Yes, that's true. Well, you don't need to read any tea leaves for this. The cops knew who I was and started talking to me about politics and stuff. So that's cool. Anyway, I'm still alive. That didn't get me. J&J isn't gonna get me. As we all know, Pop-Tarts are gonna get me. Yesterday, the federal government advised that the J&J vaccine should be put on a temporary pause. And immediately my stomach sank because I know how that's gonna be spun by right-wing media. In fact, yesterday on the show, I made a bit of a prediction. Let's take a look. The worry is that it will stop being nuanced, probably right now on Fox, definitely tonight. How do you think Tucker Carlson's coverage of this announcement will go? Do you think it will be nuanced? He's been fear-mongering about the vaccine for months. It wasn't. So,
John, Tucker, why are you always wrong, bro?
I almost never do the jank thing where I go back and get the footage, but this one was admittedly an easy prediction because Tucker Carlson is a massive anti-vaxxer. I don't care how many times he says, as he did yesterday, I think of myself as pretty pro-vaccine. We're not against it on principle. Like almost every American, we're grateful for vaccines. But before we take this one, a few questions about it. about this specific vaccine. Yes, a few questions that I could answer via Google, but choose not to. Or I could dispatch one of my many producers, but I won't. I could bring on the doctors who made it, but I won't. I'm just gonna say a bunch of BS and we're gonna run you through the history. But first, let's start with last night, because I just implied that my prediction was correct. So this is what he had to say yesterday about vaccine.
The federal health authorities also recommend that you continue to wear your mask when you go outside. How long will this continue? Well, according to Yahoo News, experts say it's, quote, not entirely clear when it will be considered okay for people who are fully vaccinated to stop wearing masks. At some point, no one's asking this, but everyone should be. What is this about? If vaccines work, why are vaccinated people still banned from living normal lives? Honestly, what's the answer to that? It doesn't make any sense at all. If the vaccine is effective, there is no reason for people who have received the vaccine to wear masks or avoid physical contact. So maybe it doesn't work and they're simply not telling you that. Well, you hate to think that, especially if you've gotten two shots. But what's the other potential explanation? We can't think of one.
We can't think of one, or at least we won't think of one. We're just gonna tell you that the federal government has been lying and the vaccines don't work. That's what he said, which is literally a conspiracy theory, because he's saying they've lied. Who's they? Well, they is apparently several massive international corporations. It's at the very least hundreds, if not thousands, of doctors. It's at the very least two presidential administrations who have conspired together to lie to you about the vaccine, all because he doesn't know what the word effective means. So I'll define that if necessary. But first of all, JR, that seems like a lot to say they're lying, the vaccine doesn't work. And that's the only explanation. We tried to think of another one, but we just can't.
You know, the day that it was delayed. The response from the CDC director about things that vaccinated people can do, this is probably in February, expansive activities that vaccinated people can do. It took them a couple days, maybe a week, to come out with it, and people were frustrated by that, and I understood it. But this crazy thing about it was, when I wanted to know what vaccinated people can do versus non-vaccinated, what kinds of activities you can stretch out to do, I went to this thing called the CDC, and there's this video of this lady. They call it the director of the CDC. Her name is Rochelle Walensky, and she has a very recognizable face and name because she went on television and she stood in front of a podium and she spoke for about 20 minutes in very, very detailed notes about what vaccinated people can do with other vaccinated people, what vaccinated people can do with unvaccinated people, and what unvaccinated people can do with unvaccinated people, or a mix of both.
But Jared, did you find this on the dark web? Where? Were you at a secret meeting?
It's weird because this lady gets paid by the US government. You see, if government gets paid by me and all the rest of us, and then after they get paid by us, they did this random rare thing of actually tell us what's going on. It doesn't happen a lot, but when it does happen, it's very accessible to hear what exactly is going on. So as he's talking about, we have no idea. No one will tell us. We haven't found out yet. We can't figure it out. You don't want to figure it out. You won't listen when the people have told you, and you've rejected when the facts are right in front of your face. That's just all there is to it. So yes, you can be willfully ignorant, but you definitely can't say that you can't find the information.
Yeah. Yeah, or at the very least, you can play willfully ignorant on TV, because I'm going to say he's got the vaccine. He and everyone in his family has had the vaccine. He just doesn't care if you get the vaccine, because he's going to be okay. You may live or die, but you're a peasant, and he doesn't care whether you live or die. Last night, Tucker Carlson went anti-vax, and he went all the way into the vax. I'm actually going to make the case that he has gone more anti-vax than all of the anti-vax people that you've heard of throughout your life. The Jenny McCarthy's, the randos on Instagram, and let me make the case for what I mean by that. Because as we showed you earlier, Tucker Carlson said, they're lying to you, the vaccines don't work. Sure, he tried to pretend that he's wording it as just asking questions. That's the message people get out of that block. And here is why that's worse than regular anti-vaxxers. And correct me if I'm wrong, maybe there's insanity I haven't seen. But the vast, vast majority of the anti-vax sentiment I've seen in my life is, don't give your kids vaccines because they'll get autism or whatever. They still admit that the vaccines work though. They just have side effects that they're not telling you about. He's gone way past that. Mm-hmm. He's saying we're administering hundreds of millions of doses of a fluid that doesn't do anything. And it's all been faked by these corporations and by the government. Biden is lying about it. And Trump is lying about it, by the way. That seems to be lost on the Tucker Carlson fans, that Trump lied about the whole thing. Jenny McCarthy says she at least admits that it protects you from the diseases. Tucker Carlson won't even go that far. He's blown way past Candace Owens on this thing. This is as anti-vax as you could possibly be. And he says it with a sort of dull look on his face that makes it seem as if it's maybe kind of rational. It's not, it's insanity.
He needed the opportunity to have another angle at it. You know, like you said, he's out of blow by the other things because been there, done that, seen it, heard it, side effects. Yeah. Autism, sure thing. Effectiveness, sure, whatever. But now he has to go back. He needs to reinvent it every night. Like I was saying, like there's a new, you know, you can't keep telling your kid, well, maybe you can, some kids, you can't keep telling the same bedtime story every night. The same boogeyman is under the bed every night. And eventually the kid goes, okay, the boogeyman has been under my bed for 5 years now. I'm 10. The boogeyman has not come out yet. I need something new, Dad. Sure. So Tucker, speaking to his children audience, is like, okay, so now he's a four-headed monster. Okay, it's not the boogeyman anymore. The boogeyman got eaten because this four-headed monster came out of the ground and ate it. Not be scared of that. He's got to reinvent it because they're going to get tired.
It's the conspiracy theory version of the wall just got 10 feet taller. That's all it is. It's just whatever you were nervous about the vaccine because I've been telling you to be nervous about the vaccine. You should be even more nervous about the vaccine. That's all it is. And look, I think I got a reaction when I initially said in, I believe, December that Tucker Carlson was going to turn hard against the vaccine. People acted as if that was the craziest thing ever. After all, it's Trump's vaccine. Why would they turn against it? Well, we've showed you a lot of different reasons. It is useful to scare your audience. Do you know, not only did Donald Trump like a month ago put out that statement saying people should take the vaccine, and Fox didn't cover it, by the way. Last night, he put out a presidential statement, you know, one of his tweets on paper, that told people to take the vaccine. Have you heard about that from right-wing media? Are they talking about that? He said that after Tucker's insanity. So are they gonna engage with that? No, that's too, it makes my brain hurt. But this is just the latest crazy thing Tucker has said has been consistent for months now. Just recently, less than a week ago, he had a guest on to say that vaccine promotion could end with burning and looting and climbing up the walls of the United States Congress. What do you mean? We already had that. They did that. It wasn't about the vaccine. It was because we really won the election, we swear. Let's see. He claimed that no one will tell him how effective COVID-19 vaccines are. The information's publicly available. And if you want, you can have the doctors, you can have the head of the CDC on, as JR said. You just choose not to. Stop that. Tucker Carlson is a mildly sentient, pointless rhetorical question. That's all he is. Yeah. Nothing he loves more than asking a question that he could get answered but chooses not to. Let's see, he attacked Joe Biden for vaccine coercion in March. He claimed that Bill Gates controls what you can and cannot do with your own body, obviously playing into the QAnon conspiracy theory about Bill Gates and 5G chips. He said that health experts are clearly lying about the safety and effectiveness of the vaccine. That was back in February. He claimed that vaccine distribution is eugenics against white people. In December, that was an early sign that he was going to turn against this whole thing. So yeah, he can say as he did, I think of myself as pretty pro-vaccine. I just sort of accidentally stumbled my way into 4 straight months of trying to terrify people about taking the vaccine. Weird how that happened.
Again, doesn't have to matter, just say it. You know, right now he's anti-vax, that's okay now. But previous to that, I was totally not anti-vax. You gotta throw everything at them so that they can, whatever it is that you decide to direct their attention to that day, you've got a history of bringing it up at some point. Tomorrow he can say, yeah, you know what? I've been anti-vax at some points, but now I'm not. And like, you can go through the whole thing and be like, yeah, they're just gonna be disingenuous and pick and choose. Yeah, because if you throw everything at folks and then on that particular night tell them that that's where you are, they're gonna believe it for some reason. I don't know why. And we already know from lawsuits from Fox News that they've defended him on. They've said no one that has any real serious thought process should believe that anything Tucker Carlson says is based in fact. His employer said that, or at least their attorneys said that in court. He's a joke. He's joking. This is entertainment. It's like watching Everybody Loves Raymond and be like, well, Raymond told me that the vaccine is going to be a problem.
Hey, Kramer said that eventually we would be transporting oil in huge rubber balls. So I invested heavily as a result of that. That's a great way to live your life. Anyway, Dr. Fauci was asked about Tucker Carlson's comments, fear-mongering about the vaccine. Which vaccine? All of them. They don't work, he says. So what did Dr. Fauci have to say about that? Take a look.
What do you have to say to Tucker Carlson?
Yeah. That's just a typical crazy conspiracy theory. Why would we not tell people if it doesn't work? Look at the data. The data are overwhelming. In the three vaccines that have been approved for use in an emergency use authorization, the J&J, the Pfizer, and the Moderna, you had 30,000, 44,000, and 40,000 people in a clinical trial with an overwhelming signal of efficacy. So I don't have any idea what he's talking about.
How dangerous is it for a TV personality like that who does have an audience of millions to speculate about something like that?
Well, it's certainly not helpful to the public health of this nation or even globally. You know, I don't want to get into arguments about Tucker Carlson, but to me, it's just, you know, it's counter to what we were trying to accomplish to protect the safety and the health of the American public.
Exactly. And Tucker Carlson is doing all of this to get his audience to love him more, to believe that he is the arbiter of truth. You can't trust anyone else, just him. You literally can't even trust Trump on this. That's what he's telling his audience. Trump says to take the vaccine. Nope, he's a big liar. They don't work. Trust me instead. That's what he's saying. He's doing it for money. And while, as JR pointed out, you know, depending on which show it is, it's white eugenics because you're giving the vaccine to too many black people. And then the next day, no, don't take the vaccine, white people, it'll kill you. That's all inconsistent. But what has been consistent from the very beginning, and we have told you this over and over and over and over from the very beginning, is that Tucker Carlson is a rich MF-er who doesn't care if his audience lives or dies. And he is proving that to this day.
And gotta be honest, he's paying attention, at least his writers and producers, they're paying attention to how much attention he's getting for all of these harmful things. And let's keep it real. The reason he's getting the attention is because, not because people just want to have some kind of content to talk about, because there are real people who are listening to and believing him. That affects society's ability, our particular society's ability to get beyond this, to have enough people vaccinated, have enough people at least not spreading the virus like crazy, even with the mask wearing talk that they're having now. So it's not just to have a conversation about Tucker Carlson, but so that we can avoid him continuing to push all these lies, which actually harms public health. That's why. Now, he takes it as, I'm getting attention. This is more money for me. Look at my ratings. He's motivated to do it more. So as they're sitting there in writers meetings or content meetings, they're like, okay, how can we anger everyone again today with nonsense? Because it's obvious that our employer is okay with that. So let's do it again today, make more money, get more ratings, and move on for the next step. That's the only objective. Who cares about lies? Lives? Misinformation? Who cares? Yeah. Money.
Yep, 100%. Money, audience, that's all it is. Anyway, hopefully some people will listen to Fauci on this. The Tucker's audience is gone. They're not taking it. If they're still watching, they are never gonna take that, which means that you can look forward to, hey, another prediction for you. In like 3 or 6 months, we're gonna be giving you updated death counts among almost exclusively the most right-wing people in the country. Like, everyone else will have had access to the vaccine. Some people regrettably will get it from those right-wingers who can't be vaccinated for a variety of reasons. And that is the summer and fall that we're looking forward to. Because people like Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, and others, a lot of people are going to needlessly die for even longer. But again, needless deaths from COVID, that is something Fox has been very consistent on supporting. We now know a bit more about what the Capitol Police did and didn't know in advance of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. We're gonna go into some of the details, but spoiler alert, they had very good reason to believe that there would be violence and they didn't prepare for it. In fact, they were preemptively disarmed from some of the tactics they routinely use against BLM protests, even though they knew violence specifically against Congress could be coming on the 6th. They apparently had clearer advance warnings about the attack than were previously known, including potential for violence in which, quote, Congress itself is the target. Officers were instructed by their leaders not to use their most aggressive tactics to hold off the mob. That includes things like heavier, less lethal weapons, including stun grenades. Now, obviously, we don't like the idea of police using stun grenades on protesters at all, but when they're trying to beat the cops to death and go in to kill Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi, well, if there's gonna be a reason, that seems like a pretty good reason, but they didn't have them because they were told not to. They also didn't even have effective shields. Their riot shields, many of them shattered upon impact because they'd been stored in trailers that weren't climate controlled. That's apparently all it takes to make those not work anymore. Anyway, 3 days before the siege, a Capitol Police intelligence assessment warned of violence from supporters of Donald Trump. It says, quote, unlike previous post-election protests, the targets of the Trump supporters are not necessarily counter-protesters as they were previously, but rather Congress itself is the target of the 6th. Stop the Steal's propensity to attract white supremacists, militia members, and others who actively promote violence may lead to a significantly dangerous situation for law enforcement and the general public alike. Several comments promoting confronting members of Congress and carrying firearms during the protest. Among the comments, they said, quote, bring guns, it's now or never. Quote, we can't give them a choice. Overwhelming armed numbers is our only chance. Be ready to fight. Congress needs to hear glass breaking, doors being kicked in, and blood from their BLM and Pantifa slave soldiers being spilled. Get violent. Stop calling this a march or a rally or a protest. Go there ready for war. We get our president or we die. Nothing else will achieve this goal. Do I need to read more? How many more comments like this do we need, JR? I'm getting strong Bin Laden determined to strike United States vibes from this. It couldn't have been more specific.
Oddly, when you have a group of people, about this, you don't need US federal intelligence in order to get the idea that they were gonna come violently storm the Capitol on that day, because everyone knew it, everyone was saying it. Or maybe you don't believe the fake news media, but you have actual intelligence and actual evidence of what was gonna happen before it happened. So let's throw all that out the window. And also, by the way, as I'm seeing all these things, let's continue to go back to these excuses that were given. This evolution of excuses. It was BLM and Antifa before. Now, as we're seeing all these messages come on, all these people getting arrested, how was it still BLM and Antifa that actually put donned Trump flags and MAGA hats and decided to run up in the Capitol? So where were all the MAGA people that day? So it's shifted now, and we obviously see it's them that was doing it. We already saw that, but you know, that argument just kind of went to the wayside because it's pretty obvious what was happening. Then it was, oh, they weren't coming there armed. They weren't there looking for violence. They were there in a protest. They say right there, stop calling this a march, rally, or a protest. This is a violent armed insurrection ready for war. That's what they said, get your arms ready. It was someone else that had tons of guns stashed in his hotel room. So again, they weren't armed is what the conservatives keep telling us, and it wasn't them. These things all continue to get dispelled. And now the Capitol Police just were told to stand down basically, which we saw too. Again, none of these things are surprise. We saw it with our own eyes. We said what it was on that day, and then somehow pushback came from a large percentage of the country that said, hey, no, none of the things you just saw were true. Now there's written things of what we said that were true that day. Exactly. At what point do they go, okay, we're done playing this game?
Yeah,
it's very simple.
We're not surprised by any of this really, but it is important that considering how long it's taken them to put together this information citing stuff that they had days before the attack. I feel like they could have put that out pretty quickly. They chose not to. We need to make sure that people know what was actually happening, what could have been done but wasn't. Because while most media has moved on from talking about the 6th, the right wing has not. Tucker Carlson, like less than a week ago, did a whole segment about how it was totally not a big deal. It was totally cool. They didn't have guns. You know, if you exclude all of the guns that they had, they didn't have guns. And the zip tie guy, really upstanding gentleman, He did a full thing on that because they are working to delude people into believing that that wasn't a terrifying, like, I hope low for American democracy. So we can't 100% move on. And with so much misinformation out there, we need to make sure that we fight back against it, which is why we're actually gonna go into our last topic here. Depending on who you get your news from, you might still believe that it was leftists that attacked the Capitol on the 6th. More than half of Republicans do believe that. I don't know why they think all these conservatives are bragging about what they did on the 6th. They've somehow not had a problem with that. I don't know why they think that Trump keeps complimenting the people who went on the 6th. For some reason, he really likes Antifa then. But no, the information was very clearly laid out of who it was, not just on the day and after with their live streams and their posts bragging about it, but they're planning for it as well. And so the Twitter account one_ Ben Collins tweeted out a bit of a throwback to some of the online posts among the Donald people prepping for it. So I want to show you some terrifying stuff. Here is a map where they have marked off all of the places they need to barricade to stop politicians from fleeing for their lives. So those are supposedly all of the entrances. They're telling people where they need to go. They're prepared for 3,500 guards. Now, obviously there were more like 3 to 5. Mm-hmm. But they did all of this expecting that they would be fighting against thousands of guards. And they still went, to give you an idea of what they were prepared to do. And in addition, we have their talk on the Donald on the forum. So we have Free Speech Master saying, don't forget there are 3 subways leading to and from the Capitol that Congress uses to escape. Hypothetically speaking, if those were occupied or sabotaged, they'd have to come out and face us in order to leave. Dix Wagger says, hypotheticals are still a thing, with a smiley face. To which Free Speechmaster says, always hypothetical. We here at the Donald never advocate for violence. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink, if you need it. Pretty clear what they're going for there. Yes, there's a passageway to the Library of Congress, MAGA Convert points out. So they are prepped to cut off all of the escape routes that politicians would use as they flee from the hordes of gun wielding people that they're preparing to unleash on the Capitol. So all of that was in advance. This is stuff the Capitol Police easily could have known about. And I don't know why all of these leftists were doing all of their organizing on the Donald in the week leading up to it. And why are there no actual MAGA people who are calling them out? As that's not what we support.
Yeah.
Weird, JR, so weird.
It's also crazy also that, again, another aspect of the lies was all these Congress people and senators that were fearing for their lives, like AOC and a few other folks that said they weren't sure if they'd make it out alive. They're just lying. These are performative acts for the camera. You're trying to get some sympathy. Stop being such a snowflake. What's the matter with you? Oh, if we look at the actual plans for these insurrectionists, these terrorists, they had plans to make sure people couldn't escape. Why would you be escaping something that's nice and comfortable, that's not threatening? Would you do you escape nice surroundings? Do you escape a normal day at the US Capitol when you're a congressman or a senator?
Nope.
Or do you just leave? Do you go home for the day? Or do you escape? Escaping means people are trying to keep you there. Who's trying to keep them there are these insurrectionists, these terrorists, these a-holes. Sorry, I almost went there. But it's right in front of you. Like, this conversation doesn't need to be had because we're the other folks that are against it just don't want to have don't there's no conversation. There's just speaking, and it's convincing of idiots to just jump on your side.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, I guess I hope that it filters out and that people watching this are prepared to fight back, whether in conversations with people in their life that believe insane, purposeful lies about the 6th that they're still being told by Fox News, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, or online, like, you can try to fight back against it. You're right. The vast majority of the time, it's going to be pointless. People believe that it was Antifa, not because they actually believe that it's exactly. Antifa. They do it because it's convenient. If they had been successful on the 6th, if they had killed every Democrat and Mike Pence there, if Trump declared martial law and remained as president, you can bet they'd be claiming that it was them then. They wouldn't be hiding behind Antifa. They'd be happy about what happened. The only reason it suddenly became Antifa and BLM was because it failed, was because it was pathetic and still resulted in multiple deaths.
Yeah, these terrorists need some training in terrorism. After you commit a terror act, you're supposed to claim victory. Mm-hmm. Or you're supposed to claim the act so that you can make sure you promote your terror organization. So the terror organization of MAGA is still building momentum, but they need to start claiming their attacks.
Yeah, some individuals openly wanted credit on their live streams. That made it very easy to track them down, thankfully. Well, JR, that was a weird last half of the show.
It was eventful.
Thank you for sticking with us.
Fun times.
It was eventful. Yeah. Don't know who exactly did it. It was probably either Q. I think maybe Mike Pence. He finished off his pineapple pizza and he messed with a TriCaster. But anyway, as always, thank you for joining us for Big News Wednesdays.
For sure. Love it. See you guys later. Fun times. See you later in the main show, John.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.